Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and tonight, ladies' luncheon yesterday, lots of stuff still planned ahead. The last couple of nights, we've been talking about what it looks like to be a man of God, and so we're gonna kind of turn the corner on that tonight, and we're going to begin the process of taking a look at what it looks like to be a woman of God, a very interesting thing for a guy to teach on. So that's the reason why we beat up the guys so bad the last two nights, right? Build up a little credibility here. So before we get started, a couple of announcements. We'll just get these out of the way first tonight. As you came in tonight, you should have received the prayer card. I just want to encourage you at any time here, take a minute to fill that out. It's been a privilege for the team to be able to lift up your prayer requests specifically to the Lord. We want to continue to do that all week long, so just want to encourage you to take a minute to fill that out. We talked the other night about some other resources. There's another card. It's the same size as your prayer card, but it's what we call a resource card. On the top it says, "Help me live a revived life." This is just a mechanism for us to get some more tools in your hand for the journey in the days and weeks and months to come. So there's some options on there. Send me Awaken Your Heart. It's a 30-day email challenge. If you want to sign up for that, we'd love to just send that to your electronic inbox. That'll come for 30 days. And it's just, again, just a tool to keep us thinking about and keep in front of us what it looks like to live a revived life. Send me a free subscription to Revive. If you don't currently get Life Action's Revive magazine, this is the mechanism we want to provide to you to sign up for that. It's free of charge. You just check that box, put your name and address on there, and we'll just start sending you the Revive magazine. And then lastly, Ryan talked about it last night, but Saturday we have what's called Home Life Cafe from 9 to 1. We're going to spend some time together right in this room. Tomorrow night after the service, we're going to transform this room a little bit and put tables and chairs in here, and it'll be casual on Saturday morning, and there'll be some food and snacks, and we'll have some fun, we'll laugh, we might cry a little bit. I'm not, you know, a funny cry, and maybe just because God's really pricking our hearts. I don't know. But that'll be a great time of us just gathering together to really focus in on the home. So single, married, younger, older, we want to encourage you to come. When you hand your prayer cards in tonight, if you have not signed up with the church's sign up, or you didn't sign up last night to do that and you want to still do that, we would love to know how many people are going to be here. So that we can provide the right amount of food and all of that. You can just fill out the card. You can pass this in with your prayer card, along with the resource card. Just hand all that stuff in when Ryan tells you in a little bit to hand in your prayer card. So those are the announcements. So let's get started. Woman of God. So let me start out with just a few statistics here. A few years ago, USA Today reported on a poll of about 35,000 readers that they polled, wanting to know what women were letting go of to make their lives more bearable. Here's what the results were. Okay, these are just the results of this. Okay, I'm actually not making this up, and it's actually a legitimate poll. So, I think it was on the internet, so it had to be true, right? Okay, so here's what the USA Today poll reported. 50% of the women polled indicated that their standard for housework had fallen. 51% said they squeezed out friends. Okay, 25% said that they neglected their husbands. This is how they were making more time for themselves with a busy schedule, how to make lives more bearable. 75% said that their sex life had suffered. So guys, that's a pretty direct impact even to us in regards to what's happening. So the conclusion, right? This is the conclusion they came to. When strapped for time, busy women push out friends, housework, husbands, and sex to life's back burner, which posed another question as a result of that. Is there anything that today's woman won't let go of with this poll? Two things came to the surface. One was a job outside the home, and the second one was kids that they wouldn't let go of. But the most stressed out, time-pressed women of all were, guess what? Women working full-time outside the home with kids. Interesting conclusion to all of that. Ladies, here's the thing. You cannot afford to miss out on what role you play. You are too important to your husband, and you are way too needed by your family. God wants your marriage to be this beautiful relationship in which you and your husband play complementary, mutually supportive, mutually submissive, and satisfying roles. So turn with me tonight to Titus chapter 2. We're going to hang out in Titus for a little while tonight. Titus chapter 2, let me give you just a little context for when this was written. The circumstances of this passage return to a period in the Roman Empire when the institution of marriage was in drastic retreat. Almost sounds like today, doesn't it? Very interesting. You see, the home had become only one option among many. All right, so let's read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here's what it says. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Okay, now notice the opening words in chapter 2 there. It's very important. Paul is not asking Titus to give guidelines that fit the culture, but guidelines that fit with sound doctrine, or guidelines that fit with what God's word says. It talks about how the older men should act and how the older women should conduct themselves. He also calls on the older women to encourage their younger counterparts to very specific action. So why did these younger women need encouragement in regard to their husbands or their children and their home? Because the culture was lessening the importance of those things. Again, very similar to what we find in our culture today. Younger women were being tempted with new opportunities and options that would make loving a husband and raising children that much more difficult. In fact, Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 are what I can find as the most clear and succinct summary of a woman's core role in all of Scripture and how it plays out. It defines the term helper that we hear about in Genesis 2 that we'll dig into in just a couple minutes. Now, some things we need to understand about a core role. A core role is not everything a woman does in marriage or family, okay? A woman is not confined only to what Paul describes in this passage. But she dare not excuse herself from these responsibilities or neglect them for other ambitions. A wife's core role should prioritize her commitments and her use of energy and time. And what's happening today is that many women are treating these core role responsibilities that we find in Titus chapter 2 as just another option. But a core role really isn't an option, right? It's the core role. So you may be asking, what is this core role then? Well, look at verses 4 and 5. Here spelled out in the clearest terms possible are a wife's primary core responsibilities in marriage and family. I'm going to reread verses 4 and 5, and then we're just going to start digging into this a little bit over the course of tonight and tomorrow night. Verse 4 says, then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. So, we're just going to dig right into this. The core responsibilities of a wife are that of a husband lover and a child lover. Okay? So, we're going to start in verse 4, a husband lover and a child lover. So, this husband lover, or we can go back to Genesis chapter 2 and talk about this helper, right? The roots of this responsibility go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, to the account of creation of woman, where verse 18 in chapter 2 says, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I would like to dig into this suitable helper a little bit tonight. You're all going to learn a little Hebrew tonight, okay? I don't know very much Hebrew, but this is about half of the Hebrew I know, so I'm going to share it with you tonight. Okay, what is this suitable helper that we find in Genesis chapter 2? It's a fascinating term, Okay, the more I have dug into this and the more I have studied it, the more fascinated I have become with it. And I believe that it has been widely misunderstood. Today, when we think about a helper, okay, in today's language, in our culture today, we think of someone as an assistant or a gopher or a helper does the dirty work. Generally, they don't have authority and they tag along waiting for someone more important to tell them what to do. That is not the word that is used here. This suitable helper in Hebrew is the word edzer kenigdo. Say that with me, edzer kenigdo. Okay, there's your Hebrew lesson for the day, all right? So we'll dig into this a little bit. Very interesting. The word edzer, helper, this word is always used in the Old Testament in the context of this. Vitally important with powerful assistance. In fact, the word edzer is a combination of two root words meaning to rescue, to save, and the word strength. And in almost every use of this word for helper, check this out, it refers to God and the help that he provides, that he supplies. Psalm 121 says this, I lift my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If the maker of heaven and earth is a helper, apparently there's no shame in being a helper. Okay, this edzer, this special kind of help, it means that you come alongside and beside someone. This special kind of help. The word edzer kenigdo. The word kenigdo, interesting, not only does it mean you come alongside, but you may also then get in front of or even get in the way. Okay, kenigdo means one who stands in front of or opposite to. The idea of someone who stands before you, facing you, even opposing you. Guys, not simply allowing you to go whichever direction you choose. It's the beauty of having a wife. They keep us in line. A kenegdo is someone who can question, who confronts, who challenges, who helps hold accountable. All of those words, in one way, shape, or form, can actually imply struggle. Okay? So the question is not, do you struggle? The question is, how do you struggle with your wife? You can either struggle against or you can struggle with. And if you struggle with your spouse, you will build what I would call relational muscle. Any strong relationship will vouch that struggle builds muscle. Anyone who has a strong relationship will likely tell you that what has contributed most to their strength will include stories of the struggles that they've had to work through. Things like an addiction, or she battled depression, or he lost a job, or she had cancer, or he got injured, or she misguided the finances, or he had an affair, or she tragically lost a loved one, or they had to work through issues of anger, pride, or selfishness. It's in these moments that a couple finds out what they're really made of. It's in these moments they come to understand that they can either struggle against each other or they can struggle with. And it's how we deal with those struggles that makes all the difference. For those who choose to struggle with, their marriages become stronger in the long run. And that's exactly what God designed with this suitable helper. One of the ways that as I have tried to embrace this with my wife over the years, we've come up with a little process in decision making. Okay? Now, don't hear me say that we don't defer to each other on a regular basis, okay? This doesn't mean that we don't defer when a decision has to be made. This applies, what I'm going to share with you. This illustration is, it does apply, but it doesn't mean that I don't defer to her or she doesn't defer to me. It just depends on what type of decision we're talking about. But we've adopted this illustration of a stoplight, right? And there's three colors that you have with a stoplight. You have red, you have yellow, and you have green. And so this is how this plays out in me and my wife's, Jennifer and my relationship, when it comes to bigger decisions. Because we trust one another, And we both have the other person's interests in mind, okay? You could use this process as a total manipulative tool, okay? And so in order to do this, you really have to trust the other person. But if we have a significant decision to make, we will talk about it. And we may, for a period of time, go and just find out what the Lord has to say to each one of us individually. And we may come back together after we've processed and after we've prayed and maybe even sought some counsel. And we'll come together and I will say, okay, so in regards to this, I have a red light or a yellow light or a green light. And here's how this works. Until we both have a green light, we will not move forward with that decision. So what I'm doing is I'm putting a lot of trust into my wife, and she's putting an awful lot of trust into me in regards to making decisions. If somebody comes back and they have a yellow light, we'll continue to process until we both have a similar colored light. Now, this is where sometimes I might come up and I'll come back and say, you know, honey, I really have a yellow light on this. I'm not really sure. She might have a green light, and I might go, you know what, that's totally fine. Like, I totally defer that to you, okay? If it has to do with, I don't know. One of the things that we've taken on in our marriage is really anything that has to do with the inside of the house, I really just defer to her on. Paint color, furniture style, whatever, okay? I just am like, honey, I really, really, we don't need to go through the big stoplight thing. It's okay, like, whatever, okay? Let's not make a big deal about it. You really know best when it comes to that stuff anyway, so fine. If it's something on the outside of the house, paint color, landscaping, that type of stuff, it's usually the opposite, where if I'll want to do something, she'll say, hey, you know what, it's totally fine. I totally got a green light on it. If you do, it's great. But there have been times when we have been processing other decisions where I can tell you this has protected us from some pretty big financial decisions that I would have made in the green, that when I look back on, I go, I am so glad we did not move forward with that. Buying a car, I can remember, man, we were going to buy a different car. I was tired of the car that I had. It was time for something different. Like, I had a car picked out. I had a total green light. Total green light. Like, Totally. Like, oh, no, absolutely. We need to do it. It's great. It's a great deal. It'll be awesome. And we talked about it, and she went away, and she came back, and she said, honey, I don't have a green light. Like, I just have a red light on this. Do we need some more time? Do I need to convince you some more? Or, like, you know, again, because we had said if we don't have the same color light, we will not move forward with it. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm a little energetic about it. I'm probably more of a risk taker. I was probably a little blinded to, like, what the long-term effects of that were actually going to be. And it wasn't too long after that God called us to life action. And I can remember, man, if we would have dove into that car and taken on a loan for that, it would have just been that much more that we would have had to worry about in raising support and to pay for that thing and not even be around very much. And I look back on that and I just went, God, thank you for protecting me in that moment. You knew what was going on. You knew what the future was for us. And as much as I was like, okay, you know, we committed to trust the process of the stoplight, it wasn't easy at the time, but looking back, it was a huge protection for us in that. The reason why I believe this is healthy for Jennifer and I is because we're very committed to this thing called unity in our marriage. And I believe that unity always trumps disunity in our marriage relationship. It's just not worth it. Like, I can't find it in here where disunity trumps unity. And so we've just said, you know, unity trumps disunity. This suitable helper is a tremendous compliment to you ladies. You are invaluable to your man. He needs someone custom made to help him be and do what he can't be and do by himself. Your love and support is essential to his success. Without your focus and your attention and your encouragement and your love, he will have glaring gaps in his life. It is not good for man to be alone. I've had somebody who's come up to me after a service who didn't particularly like the stoplight illustration and didn't really like how I had explained this Edzer Kenigdo thing. And he said, now tell me, at the end of the day, who wears the pants in your family? Like, if you guys disagree, at the end of the day, like, who gets to make the final decision? And I just said, you know what? I really like to think that God wears the pants in our family. And that he will work through a process with us, that we will both come to the point where we're both agreeable to making a decision, especially bigger decisions in life. Okay? So, husband lover, ladies. The second part of that is child lover, okay? There's no question that children, especially young ones, need lots of personal attention, support, and love. And children need the awesome power of someone being there to be unleashed on them. I also believe that it's not good for a child to be alone either. Healthy child development requires a close, loving, and sustained relationship with at least one person during childhood. Titus 2 indicates that the mother should be the primary provider of that. Ladies, here's the thing on all of this. Your full-time status has to be that of wife and mom. I'm not saying that you can't work outside the home. It just means that your full-time status is that of wife and mother. And there's a big difference between working out of financial necessity and working as an alternative to mothering. And the truth is, your kids actually know the difference between those two things, okay? So this core role, this lover, this husband lover and a child lover. So how do these core roles of husband lover and child lover play out? What's the response to these core roles and responsibilities? Well, we just keep reading in Titus, and it says, I'll just read it, okay? They can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. And then it goes on to say this, verse 5, to be self-controlled, okay? Makes sense. Don't really have any issue with that. And pure. And then it says this, to be busy at home. What in the world does that mean? What does it mean to be busy at home? Well, we find another description of this in 1 Timothy 5:14. Here's what it says. I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Let me ask you a question based on that verse. Who's the manager of the home? It's okay, ladies, you can say it. The wife is the manager of the home. We read the other night in Ephesians 5, what's the husband's role? The head of the wife, right? Okay, so we talked about what that meant to be head. But wives, your job, based on this passage of Scripture, is to manage your home. Guys, here's what that means. If your wife wants that picture hung on that wall upside down, okay, your job is to figure out where to put the nail and hang the picture on it, okay? Simple, right? Ladies, just because you're the manager of the home does not mean that your husband doesn't need his place in the house, okay? You can close the door to the man cave. You don't have to mess around in there and mess up his piles and all that kind of stuff, all right? Remember, based on what God's word says, is that he's the head of the wife, okay? Guys, don't come home and be telling your wife how to rearrange the furniture in the house, okay? That's not your job. You hand her two hands and say something like, you're the manager of the home, babe. I'm here to help you. Tell me what you need done. I got the muscles. I don't want you to hurt yourself, or something like that, okay? Now, this is where I got to take a deep breath. What all this does not mean, however, is that everything that happens at home is the responsibility of the wife. Okay? Guys, I got to get in my soapbox here just for a minute, and we got to talk a little bit more. Let's go back to the very beginning, okay? This is what happened in the garden. Genesis chapter 3 is the story of the fall. Let me ask you this question. Who sinned first in the garden? Okay, I would agree with that response. Eve did. Let me ask you another question. Who got the responsibility for what happened in the garden? Adam did. Maybe this is going to be easier than I thought. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men. Check this out. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And then it says this. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Folks, he was right there. Do you know what Eve needed in that moment? She needed her man of God to step in there and protect her and say, no, woman, don't do that. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. But it says that he was with her, and he took some from her, and he ate it. What does God teach us in all of this? Guys, if your marriage fails, or if your family fails, you may not be 100% at fault, okay? But you are 100% responsible. And that is a big pill to swallow. You may not be 100% at fault, but you are 100% responsible. You can blame her all you want, but God is going to require that every man give an account for what happens to his marriage and his family. It is not her job to lead your family. She needs you to lead her, to love her with everything you have, like Christ loves the church. She needs to have access to that man of God that we spent the last couple of nights talking about. And guys, that's you. I want to be the man that my wife runs to when there's a crisis or a need in our home. Okay, I'm going to step back off a little bit here. Okay, busy at home means managing the home. It goes on in Titus 2. Also says that another response says to be busy at home, to be kind, and then it says this, to be subject to their husbands. To be subject to their husbands, right? The S word. And that is what we're going to tackle tomorrow night. Okay? It's a little cliffhanger for you, all right? I need one more day to get ready. No, I'm just kidding. All right? So, just as a review, core responsibilities, ladies, husband lover, child lover, and managing the home. Here's your life in action. This is something for you to think about, maybe for you and your husband to discuss together. What does this currently look like, and what might need to change? Okay, for some of us, this is new. This was sort of new to me, this Edzer Kenigdo. I'll share a little bit tomorrow night, like what I thought marriage was and what roles were wrong. And so we'll explore that a little bit more tomorrow night. So what does this currently look like, and what needs to change? Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for another opportunity just to gather together. Lord, thank you for the way that you created our wives to be these suitable helpers, to help us be and do who we could not be and do on our own. Lord, thank you for the way that Jennifer over the years has really protected us and helped us stay within the boundaries that you've designed for us. Lord, I'm grateful for someone who's been willing to even get in front of and struggle with me in those things. Father, I pray that we would be the type of men and women that you desire for us to be. Lord, help us as we struggle together and to do life together and to husband and wife together. Father, I pray that that would paint the picture that you use regarding the way that you love your bride, the church. And Lord, again, I pray that we would be quick to give you praise for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.